Hello, this is UCI Chancellor Dr. Howard Gilman. Whenever I get the urge to hear independent talk radio, I only tune into KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine or online at KUCI.org. I love Anteater Radio.
It makes me wanna KUCI. It makes me wanna KUCI. It makes me wanna KUCI. It makes me wanna KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
You are listening to Get Notified. My name is Ryan Fulland, also known as DJ Ginger MC, and yes, I am Ginger for all of you who are wondering if that is true. You can show me some love online, that's at Ryan Fulland on Twitter. I like to tweet a lot. And if you want to see a daily inspirational quote drawn with a Sharpie and a regular old piece of paper, you can find me on Instagram at Ryan.Fulland. Now today I'm excited because we have a very practical show. Sometimes we get meta and we get into conversations that are very philosophical and theoretical in nature. Today, it is where the rubber meets the road, and I have brought in two brilliant, genius, amazing, forward-thinking millennial geniuses who are also brilliant to step us through an hour of what the main platforms are, how and why you would sign up for them, and then best practices for each platform. So this show in itself is going to help you go from no social media presence to some, if you like it, or it'll help you to evaluate what you're doing on the existing platforms so that you can do better. Now, ladies, you are here in studio, and we are ready to get as much of the information from your brain out into the wavelengths. Angie, why don't we start with you, and then we can meet Brenda, and then we're going to have a party. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. So, Angie, who are you and why are you an authority on social media? What do you do here at UCI that makes you in the driver's seat when it comes to social media? I mean, it sounds like you know what you're talking about, and I know what you're talking about, so I'm setting you up here. Why? What's going on?
So I am a social media coordinator for the Office of the Vice Provost for Teaching and Learning, so it's my job to be on social media all day, and then when I'm not at my job, I'm on social media still.
Wow, you heard it there. She takes her work home with her, and she works here at UCI in the Office of the Vice Provost for Teaching and Learning, and we oversee about 25 different programs on campus. So, Angie, you are there along with Petrina helping me out to solve the problem that a lot of people have, and it's how do you connect with students where they are. And you brought in your pro friend, Brenda, who also has an affiliation with KUCI. Brenda, let us know who you are and what your deal is with social media.
Okay, well, I'm a third year. I work at KUCI. I'm also a DJ here, so that's pretty cool. That's about me.
What's your show?
It's called In the Meadow. It's on Wednesdays from 12 to 2.
Nice. Yeah. And what kind of music do you like to listen to or share with the world?
It's mainly underground music, so it has to do with indie alternative. I play just a random amount of genres. Like, there's reggae, there's hip-hop, just anything that catches my ear. I just love to show it to everyone.
Gotcha. Ear catching. Well, we've got everyone's ear here today, and we are going to help everybody with these basic platforms, how to get on them, and then what the best practices are for them. So, Angie, why don't you start off? What do you think is the most practical place to start from a social media standpoint? If people are nowhere or they're somewhere and they want to know, what is maybe the biggest platform out there?
Definitely Facebook.
Definitely Facebook. Okay, so that's definitelyfacebook.com?
Funny.
Okay, so it's Facebook. Tell us about Facebook. Now, Brenda, we have this thing we call the GTO, and it's not a car. It's Grandma Timeout. So we pretend like our listeners are grandmas. And look, we love grandmas, so this is not a bad thing. If you're a listener, I'm calling you grandma in the best way possible. We want to explain things as though we are explaining them to someone who might not be connected with what's going on in the social media world. So GTO, Facebook.
So Facebook is basically you in a profile. You upload the most relevant photo of yourself. You upload photos and videos.
But wait. As a platform, though.
As a platform?
Yeah, GTO, because you're getting into profile pictures, stuff that. Just speak from the hip. If you're talking to your grandma and you're trying to convince her to get onto Facebook, why would she want to do that?
Because Facebook is fun.
Okay. So fun. So it's a way to connect with other people, I'm assuming?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, it's the blue icon with the F, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're getting really technical now.
Yeah. And it's pretty much everywhere, everywhere, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so if you are going to be on a platform, is Facebook a good place to start?
I think Facebook is the best starting point.
Okay, mm-hmm. And why? Why would that be?
Because it's more friend geared, it's more personal. You have your about me, you have everything that is just that embraces you or your page, instead of like other platforms like Twitter or Facebook, which is limited in expressing yourself and details about yourself.
Gotcha. So Facebook is a friendly place to start.
Exactly.
And it's essentially putting your personal profile out there on the public platform.
Yeah.
And then you can connect. I mean, just in a general sense, like, what do you do on Facebook when you're on Facebook? What is fun to do on Facebook?
Basically just scroll through your timeline, see what your friends are up to, and then message your friends constantly. So it's like texting
through a computer.
Exactly.
All right, Brenda, are you a big fan of Facebook?
Not really.
Okay, this is great. We've got both sides. What is it that you don't like about Facebook, or how come you're not on it?
Well, I mean, I do have a Facebook. I think, my grandma has a Facebook. And so basically, I think it's great to keep in touch with like long lost friends, you know, you might not have their numbers anymore, or it's, I don't know, you keep people updated on your life. You don't really need to explain yourself thoroughly if you don't want to, just put up a picture. But I just don't like it. I don't think it's that fun, or at least the people I'm friends with don't post anything that I think is, you know, like, oh, entertaining, or it's a lot of politics and things that I just really don't want to get into.
Yeah. Okay. So it's almost like a public conversation, and depending on the people you're connected with, if you're enjoying that conversation, it's cool, it's fun, and if you're not, then maybe it's a standoffish. For me, mm-hmm. Brenda, you and I get along because I'm not that into Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that it's a time warp. Like, I go on, and then this fun feed, which is a news feed, and it literally is everybody's different post that shows up in some sort of a scrolling timeline,
mm-hmm.
and you get to see what everybody's up to, but all of a sudden, you blink, and it's been a couple hours, and you get sucked into the vortex of what is Facebook, right?
Yeah, totally.
Now, Angie, you like that.
Yeah, I think people post some funny stuff sometimes.
Okay,
yeah.
So now people, when we're talking about posting, right? Mm-hmm. It's people can post a picture, they can post a video, they can share other people's posts. You can take pretty much anything that you can copy a link for online, and you can share that. What kind of videos are in your swing zone that are funny? Are you a cat video kind of person?
Yeah.
Definitely, okay.
A cat video. A lot of animal videos that are super cute, and then funny memes. Just nothing really, everything's pretty immature and funny. That's what, like, it's like a stress reliever to scroll down your timeline and see what your friends are up to and all the funny stuff that they post.
Okay, so Facebook is fun. It's stress relief. You can watch cat videos. It can get you in a good mood. But on the flip side, it can get you dragged into politics. And then it can get dragged you into conversations that maybe get a little bit long form.
Yeah.
And people can probably have videos that are not very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I want to say buyer beware, but signer upper beware. Right? Facebook has both sides. And I love this opposition because I don't really like Facebook that much, but I'm on it. Brenda, you don't like Facebook that much, but you're on it. So even if you like it or don't, there's still value of being on it because then you have a choice to engage or not. It's not like when you sign up, you're required to post a certain amount or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So starting off as a way to explore social media, if you wanted to sign up for Facebook, if that's a step that we get people to go over, how do they physically sign up? Like, if I have never signed up for social media before, what are some of those steps to actually sign up and get in on the platform? I know I go to the website.
Go to the website. You enter all the required information about yourself.
Okay. Now, should you be telling the truth, or do you just make up the person that you want to be, or?
I feel like you should tell the truth. Like, I have some friends that lied about their age when they made it, so now they're like 27 when they're my age. Yeah.
Okay. So putting together an honest profile, what are some of the things that they ask in the profile, just in general? It's like your name, your hobbies, if you're in a relationship, where you went to school, all that general stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you dig that information in, and I don't believe you have to give it all, right? You can it'll remind you and ask you questions. Where'd you go to school? Mm-hmm. And then that sort of connects, gives them a reason to connect you with other people that went to that school. Because behind the scenes, Facebook has all these crazy algorithms or mathematical equations that tries to find the posts that you like the most and people that might be in your network all the time I log on and said, hey, suggested friends, or do you know these people? And oftentimes you do. It's kind of creepy, but it helps you to connect. So it's as easy as just signing up, giving basic information. That's it?
Yes.
That's...
Well, like, if you want to get more in details, you put up a profile picture, okay, a cover image, and then a bio about yourself.
Okay, so let's hit some best practices for Facebook. Maybe do's and do nots. You talked about a profile picture. I've seen a few profile pictures that maybe aren't the best profile pictures. What are your opinion on a good profile picture?
I think it's kind of creepy when people have cartoons of themselves or just text as their profile picture. Like, I don't think... I always click and see what their face actually looks like, because
right,
that makes you feel like it's actually a person.
Okay. And how about you, Brenda?
I think just like a basic selfie would suffice, you know, okay, like, or just pictures of you and your friends. Just a picture of yourself.
What about the one where it's like you and somebody else and it's just like ex-boyfriend style chopped off the side? Like,
those make me laugh.
Okay. All right. So, hey, that works. Now, would you consider Facebook a professional platform?
I think that's what I love about Facebook so much, because it's both. It's professional, where you can connect with your work occupation or whatever you're doing, create a professional page, like UCI has their own page, and then you could have fun on the side and then message your friends and laugh at memes. So it's both for me. Like, I feel I have to have a professional side of Facebook and then the fun side too.
Okay. Well, good to know. So you can have fun, but you can also use it for somewhat of professional realm.
Exactly.
One of the things that confuses people, I think, is the difference between your personal page and your fan page. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that quite a bit. And we had Sherry Fink on the show recently, and I think she did a great explanation. It's saying your personal page allows you to have up to 5,000 friends. And it doesn't really make sense. Humans don't have more than 5,000 friends. It's just ridiculous. Like, that's aggressive. But what she was explaining is that if you are going to be a public figure, or you are going to write a book, or you're going to... have something that you do, which, so Brenda, your music show, you want more than 5,000 listeners, right?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So if you only had a personal Facebook page, mm-hmm, you'd be capped out. So there's maybe an advantage for people who have business aspirations or radio shows or something that they want to gain traction with. You can also start a public page, which is also called like a fan page. Mm-hmm. And people react, engage differently where they can become a fan, but you can have unlimited fans, right?
Yeah.
So starting off with a Facebook personal page is a way to start. And then if you feel so inclined to have something that you want to use it for the professional, like for me, I have a professional page and a friend page. And Brenda, do you have a professional page?
I don't have a professional page on
Facebook. A fan page, right?
Yeah. Okay. I have a personal like page,
yeah,
but I don't have a fan book. But that's because I'm using a different social media for that.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to get to that. So as a recap, when it comes to Facebook, it's as easy as signing up. It's professional, but it's fun. You can laugh at memes, which are pictures that have funny sayings with them. Then you've got cat videos, cute things, but you can also leverage the fact that it can be used for somewhat of professional use. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of business that's done on Facebook. A lot of businesses are there because people are there.
Yeah.
All right. Any other best practices or tips for Facebookers out there?
I think Facebook has a unique feature of making events that okay, you can invite all your friends to. I think that's...
So you create an event on Facebook, and then yes, people can say, I'm interested, or I'm going, and other people can see who's going, and you yeah, can organize parties and things like that.
And it really, like, promotes the event. Like, if I see my friends going to an event, I'll text her and be like, oh, you didn't invite me, and then I'll put, like, I'm interested too. So it's just really fun to see what all your friends are up to.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. And then... let's touch briefly on the whole Facebook Live concept, because that's sort of taken over, and it's the ability to broadcast live from your Facebook account.
Yeah.
And now a lot of people seem to be using that. I'm seeing these banners all up. I'm seeing commercials about it, everything mm-hmm, like this. And it's basically a real time for you to turn the camera on yourself or something else, and it notifies all your friends, and then they can jump on and get engaged. And it's kind of taking that online to a whole new level, because you're showing people, this is what I'm doing now at the moment. Mm-hmm. What are your opinions on Facebook Live? Do you use it, and or do you enjoy watching the different videos that are produced?
I personally don't use Facebook Live because I wouldn't know what to share about myself, but I get notifications all the time from club or pages that I've liked that are posting live videos.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So the value is you have a club or a group that you like, and mm-hmm, so you get their information, and whether it's an event that is sort of static and you can say if you want to go, you have the live feed. Maybe there's a drum circle that's going on, and you can, instead of going to the event,
you can see it.
You can just see it, and mm-hmm. you can see if it's something that you might want to join the next time or literally go there at that point.
Yeah.
Is there this fear these days of, like, transparency when it comes to who's going to a party?
Party as in, like, college party?
College party or event or something like that. Like, how important is it for you to see what's going on or to know who's going to be there? Does technology really now have this higher bar for events? Because it's like, if nobody's going to your event, mm-hmm. now, you know, let's say you put up an event page and one person's interested and one person's going and it's you. it's kind of like a public, nobody's coming to my party, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas before you may be like, hey, come to my party, and you show up and you don't know what to expect. And you're like, well, I'm here.
Yeah.
Do you find that before you go anywhere, you sort of check them out on Facebook or see if you can find out a little bit more information?
Yeah, like if I see my friends are going or people that I know are going, it makes me more excited to go. It makes me, like, interested about what it is. But if there's, like, 300 people going and I don't know any of them, then I'm just a little, it's not.
So it could work either way.
Yeah, it could work either way.
Gotcha. All right, Brenda, do you, well, we established that you don't really like Facebook too much. Is there, do you check out the live streams, or have you played around with that at all or anything?
I've seen some of the live streams for the concerts, concerts that my friends go to. So of course I'm just so involved with those.
Okay.
But other than that, like, unless they're, like, really significant friends of mine, I'll check their live feeds. But if it's, like, somebody I went to middle school with,
right.
I'm just kind of like, I have work. I have something to, you know.
So you still have the ability to pick and choose
of
what's going on. Very cool. All right. So if you're not on Facebook, it's a great place to start. And even Brenda's grandma's on Facebook. It's a great way to connect with friends and family. You can have events. You can show people what's going on in your life. So it's not that scary. And it's okay to be on it and still not totally into it, because that's what I'm. You can find me, I guess, same kind of thing, right? Like, I'm Ryan Folan. That's my personal page. But then my public profile page is Ryan Folan 313. Sometimes it's confusing when you're out there searching.
Yeah.
Okay. So what would be the next the next platform that people would want to look at from joining on in this crazy social media world?
Twitter.
Yes. Oh, I like to tweet. I am a tweeter for sure. Okay, so Brenda, what do you think about Twitter?
I absolutely love it.
You're a tweeter too?
I'm a tweeter.
Okay.
You guys are best friends.
You were like, I'm pulling out my phone. I'm going to search for it. What is your handle so people can show you some love out there?
Okay, it's at Bendy Flower.
At Bendy Flower. Mm-hmm. So as in, like, what it sounds like, B-E-N-D-Y?
Yeah, and then flower.
Okay. Explain the whole handle and at, right? If you're communicating to somebody and they don't know to find you on Twitter, how do you say that? You're like, oh, I'm on Twitter at, say it again?
Bendy Flower.
Bendy. Okay, so I'm going to do the at symbol first, mm-hmm. searching B-E-N-D-Y-F-L-O-W-E-R. Mm-hmm. And then it says Brendy.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're doing, like, a salute.
I don't know.
Maybe not a salute. You're standing on a wall. That looks dangerous.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. I'm standing on, like, a top of the parking structure at the school. Yeah,
okay.
It was for an aesthetic, you know, pleasing picture, but it was really scary.
Don't jump.
Yeah.
Okay, see? Social media can actually get in there and help people. It's like, I saw your tweet. You're on the edge. No, don't do it. But maybe I'd call you at that point. So tell us why you like Twitter.
It's so much fun. It's funny. Okay, the only reason I didn't like Facebook is because none of my friends post on it.
Okay.
So Twitter is where all of my friends post. They say the funniest things. I see the fun, like, dankest memes, as people say. And then what's great about Twitter is I'm actually updated on a lot of things that are happening in the news. Like,
gotcha.
Media.
Now, what is it with Twitter? What makes it different? And I know that, you know, Facebook, you can just write a biography or you can do a rant about politics, whatever you want. But on Twitter, they put some constraints on you, right?
Yeah, there's a word limit, basically.
Yeah, or I think it's a character count. And a character is either a letter or a space or anything.
Or like an emoji.
Yeah. Mm. And it's 140 characters, I believe, that you can put together in something, whether it's funny, whether it's a dope meme, whether it's an image or a picture or a link. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like Facebook, but on a not smaller scale, but just less information and little bits, I guess you'd say.
It definitely forces you to be creative and minimizing the amount of words you want to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like about it. That's what I like about it. I get excited to try to make things short and tight and simple. And I ramble a lot. And obviously, that's why I'm constantly trying to work on keeping things simple. But when you have a tweet and you want to say something and then you run out of the characters, you stop, you go back, and you turn a your into you are and a you into you and an ampersand and the with the hash, and mm-hmm. you kind of create this own language.
Yeah.
And it's real time, and I enjoy Twitter too, because if there's a certain theme or a certain event, you can just search for it and you get everybody's sort of opinions chirping in.
Yeah. That's it's more, I think it's definitely more opinion based. I don't know about Facebook. Like, yeah, you could just write a comment and everything, but Twitter's just, I don't know, it's just much fun.
Yeah. It's funny because Angie likes Facebook because it's fun, and you like Twitter because it's fun. And I just want to remind everybody out there that's stressed out by social media, some of the top reasons for being on these platforms is not stress, mm-hmm. but actually fun and some sort of engagement with other people and connectivity. And it doesn't always have to be so kind of like stressful. I think people get really stressed out. And I believe part of it is just starting from scratch, right? When you're the new kid on the yeah. block, not the sound or the music, but you were literally sort of starting off and you have zero followers and you're following nobody. Yeah. And I think that's kind of intimidating. So for somebody who's scared of starting, what would your advice be to them?
You're not going to get like 100 followers back in that same day. Keep in mind that, you know,
right.
don't get your hopes too high. But as time goes on and you start following people, it's just more, the more people you follow, basically, the more followers you'll get back.
Yeah, so that's the magic equation, is following people, mm-hmm. and then they go, oh, who's this Brendy person? And they click, and they're like, oh, she's on the wall. She's kind of like, oh, that's very aesthetically cool. And then they go to your first tweet, and they're like, oh, that's kind of funny. Maybe they like it. Then all of a sudden, you flip around and go, who's that person that just liked my tweet? And then you see them, and it's mm-hmm. it's a sort of poking conversation back and forth.
Yeah, basically, you get to see, it's basically you got to feel the people. You're like, oh, I like what they have to say, or, you know, they post funny things. I would want to see this on my timeline.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Brenda, what do you think about Twitter? Tweet, tweet. Yeah.
I also love Twitter.
I called you Brenda.
Yeah.
I pointed at you, and I looked at Brenda, you're like, me? Yeah, Angie. See, that was if that was a tweet, I would have tweeted the wrong person. So, what is your deal with Twitter? What do you think about it?
I love Twitter, too. I just think it doesn't have that professional aspect
okay.
of Facebook. I think it's kind of hard to manage that. But I think Twitter, one of its advantages is also what Brenda said, is you get updated on the most relevant things. Like when the elections are happening, that's all people were tweeting about. When the award show just happened, I think the other day, that's all everyone was tweeting about. And you could check the trending topics, which I think is a feature that is just like outstanding on Twitter.
Because what is GTO trending topics?
Mm-hmm. Basically, if a lot of people are hashtagging a certain event or a thing that's going on, then it'll appear on the left side of your Twitter thing.
Okay. And a hashtag, GTO hashtag.
Hashtag GTO. Brenda, you can assign a hashtag.
Brenda, what is a hashtag? GTO. Grandma timeout. Because it's funny, like if you hear yourself talk, we're using vocabulary that's new when we're describing new things. So yeah. You were talking about trending topics, which you're trying to understand. And it's when people use a hashtag in a multiple that is in the thousands or hundreds of thousands. And all of a sudden, Twitter sits there and go, these hashtags are trending, quote unquote, because more people are using it than anything else. And so it's this constant flow. But what is a hashtag, if you had to explain?
If I had to explain it, it would either be like basically the title of what your whole tweet is about. So if I'm talking about like, oh, my day, you know, I spilled something on myself, I lost my paper, and the hashtag could be worst day ever, you know?
Or hashtag strugs.
Yeah, or, you know, or it could be anything, or like hashtag the struggle, you know? It could be funny, it could be an actual title. It's just...
And then if enough people have a bad day and they all are using hashtag struggle, mm-hmm. then they could sort of see each other's tweets and they could like it and find camaraderie in the struggle.
Yeah.
I think we should come up with a game show called something around hashtags, and you either guess the hashtags or somebody explains their tweet or their mood and you have to guess what the hashtag is.
Mm-hmm.
So on Twitter, you're using hashtags to sort of group your tweet with larger conversations.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. And on Facebook, you still can use hashtags, but it's searching within the platform and it doesn't have the trending topics.
Yes, exactly. So
okay.
It's a little harder to...
So hashtags are used differently on different platforms.
Yes.
And on Twitter, it's mostly used to gather information on trending topics and on searchability to find out if you want to learn more, meet new people. Brenda, have you ever done a tweet chat?
A tweet chat? Do you mean kind of like a group message on Twitter?
Kind of. I just did my first Twitter chat the other day, and what happens is it's almost like a podcast or a radio show, and people say, I'm going to have a tweet cast or a tweet chat. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is everybody goes to tweetchat.com, and then you use a hashtag for a certain conversation. Like there's every Tuesday night, there's a millennial talk at, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so if you go on to TweetChat and you type in hashtag millennial, you now are connected in a group conversation with everybody. And when you tweet, it automatically uses that hashtag. So it's a huge conversation or a Twitter chat with all kinds of people. I had just done it the other day. Yeah. It's crazy.
I actually did not know about that. So.
Same. Yeah. Is that something new?
It's not new, but what happens is, let's say you're at a conference and you're speaking in front of 1,000 people. Then you say, okay, guys, if you want to find more questions or I'll answer your questions, tonight I'm going to have a tweet chat at 8 o'clock. And that person can be behind the computer in the hotel room, nice and safe and not barrage. Yeah. But there can be thousands of people that are joining in on the conversation. And it's a way to facilitate multiple chats going on at one time. It's also a great way to connect, because anybody who's in the tweet chat about millennials, maybe they're a good connection with you because they're all in that same group topic.
Yeah. Interesting.
See, this is crazy. Now, Twitter also has a version of live streaming, right? Which is Periscope. And Periscope is owned by Twitter, and it's one of the ways you can tweet. So if you want to take a picture of a band that's playing, it's somewhat, okay, cool. Although it's very difficult to take pictures of live musicians. Very difficult. Because they're always like, man, man, like in between words, and it's just the lights are in the wrong direction. But if you were to do a little video clip, maybe that might be cool, but it eats up all your memory on your phone, and then it's just a certain amount of time. The way that you can use Twitter through Periscope is to basically do a live stream of what's going on. And it's showcasing that as a live stream. It eventually goes away. So some of your followers on Twitter are notified, hey, this person's at a concert, and you can get a front row seat to the person who has a cell phone that's not videotaping, but live streaming at that moment. Mm-hmm. And then everybody can jump on and chat. I used Periscope to find that Cubs game that was on, because I don't have a TV, and I didn't have cable, and I didn't know what to do or where to find it, but I wanted to watch. I don't like baseball that much. I'm sorry if that offends anyone. It's just, I'm a hockey kind of guy, but I love sports, especially competitive stuff, especially when someone hasn't won in 108 years. But I was able to go into Periscope and search Cubs, and I came up with all these people that were just videotaping their own TV screens, and everybody was watching their Periscope of them filming the TV screen, which was filming the real event, and it was like Inception. So if you're confused about Twitter at this point, it's okay, because even people that are super excited about it are learning new things on the platform.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that everybody should think about when it comes to social media. Every day there's going to be a new way of using it. There's going to be a new way of leveraging it. There's going to be people who are creative within the platform. So just like anything, you don't know until you don't know what you don't know, and you can't learn unless you start. Yeah. That's a good little quote. I might draw that today. Who knows? So we've got Twitter, and how do we sign up for Twitter? I mean, is it as easy as signing up for Facebook? Just go to twitter.com?
Yeah, exactly like Facebook. Go to twitter.com. You enter the information about yourself and then profile picture and then a header image, just like Facebook.
Okay. So to get onto these platforms, it seems somewhat simple.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about a couple of do's and do nots when it comes to Twitter. Since you are the Twitter master here in the room, what are some of the things that you wish you would have learned before you started tweeting, or things that you recently learned, best practices, anything that you can think of?
Don't take Twitter too seriously.
I like that. Number one, don't take Twitter too seriously.
Yeah,
okay.
Because a lot of people write like the silliest thing sometimes, and other people could find it alarming. And it's, I don't know. It's
Twitter
just,
fights.
Yeah.
Twitter fights.
Oh, yeah. Avoid Twitter fights unless they are amusing. Don't try to, it's a thin line between an amusing Twitter fight and an aggressive one.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And then also, just like in everyday life, there's going to be bullies sometimes.
Yep.
So beware of that. And what's great about Twitter is that you could just block someone, mute them. You don't have to see what they're writing. You don't have to communicate with them if you don't want to?
This is a very good point. So if somebody for some reason attacks you and says, hey, loser, you've only got two followers, #LOL #loser #ginger, right? Like, that could really irritate me.
Yeah.
Because it's cool to make fun of me being a ginger, but when it draws the line between making fun of and then cyberbullying, then that's it. But on Twitter, you can actually just block the person.
Yeah.
And then that's done. You don't have to deal with them anymore.
Problem solved.
Yeah. Is the same thing, do you have that same capacity on Facebook?
It's a little more difficult to block someone on Facebook. On Twitter, you just go to their profile and then click something on little, like, repair image thing. And then just click block.
Okay.
It's breezy.
So for those of you who are on Twitter, don't take everyone super seriously. And know if somebody irritates you or is acting like a bully, you can just block them. And I think that the same should go for, because I've had people that I encourage to get on, and then all of a sudden they get spam, or they get nudity, or they get, like, inappropriate propositions. Same thing. You can spam them. Just like anything out there, there's going to be a bit of mess when it comes to just, you know, especially if you're out there and you're new and you don't have an established community, it can be easy to get intimidated. And again, don't worry about your followers, because your followers will come as you follow people. So the best way to get followers is to follow people. And it could be anybody, could be musicians, could be people you're interested in. And I believe a good trick is if you, like, for example, what's somebody or who's somebody that you follow or would follow on Twitter, Angie?
On Twitter?
A certain personality or certain somebody?
Celebrity?
Yeah.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
Okay, so if you go to Taylor Swift now has one more follower. But if you go to Taylor Swift and you click, you can see who's following her.
Yeah.
And then you could connect with a whole community of Taylor Swift fans, and you have this thing in common now.
I noticed that right when I follow celebrities or something, I always get like, oh, Taylor Swift fan has followed you.
Right.
Yeah, so they're checking who follows the celebrity.
Yeah, it's that same kind of algorithm where Twitter goes, hey, if you're following this person, they're always trying to make suggestions. Mm-hmm. And when you follow one person, it'll suggest like other people that are like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of like it's kind of like a big brother or big sister hooking up with friends, like, just because they know a little bit more than you. Or they're like 1 year ahead in the class, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What about UCI's Twitter? They're pretty active. Are you guys following UCI on Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about Peter the Anteater?
He's hilarious. Yes.
Peter is a good tweeter.
He has a Twitter?
Yeah. It's Peter T. Anteater. I'd encourage you to follow him. Look at, she's, yeah, Brenda's excited. Following him right now. So you should give a shout out. Be like, hey, at Twitter, excuse me. See, even I'm trying to talk in tweets and it's difficult. So it's just as hard to put the tweets together, but you get a chance to rewind and go back. You would do something like, hey, at Peter T. Anteater, comma, just heard about you on #getnotified on at KUCI FM, comma, they said you were funny, ? Are you funny? ? And then he might respond back and just go, yes, I'm funny. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
So you can actually communicate and get in touch with people. And finally, on Twitter, one of the underutilized things I find is direct messaging. Because you have this public conversation, but there's a chance to have a private conversation. Mm-hmm. And from a networking tactic or tool, you can follow somebody, but you can send them a direct message. And you'd be surprised how many people or public figures or people that you never think that you could have gotten in touch with actually would respond to you in a direct message component.
Yeah.
Then you can find out their email and you can bring it to email, or you can find them on Facebook and all kinds of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Cool. So in the first half hour here, if you were just joining us, we've been talking about some basic social media jargon on the basic platforms. We talked about Facebook and we've talked about Twitter. What is up next? What is the next platform we need to think about or know about?
What's really new and growing rapidly is Snapchat.
Ooh, and you like Snapchat, don't you?
That's my favorite.
Okay. Yeah. And Brenda, you're nodding over there. Are you a Snapchatter?
Oh, yeah. That's mainly what
we're friends.
Yeah. We're friends on Snapchat. Yeah.
Okay. So talk to me about how you guys interact on Snapchat. How does that work? What is Snapchat?
Snapchat is a platform where you could just post a 10-second video or a 10-second photo, or it can even be 3 seconds. It's super fun.
So up to 10 seconds, and you can do a video or a picture
that lasts 24 hours.
Okay. And you guys like that it comes down, right?
Yeah.
Because then it's just each day is a fresh day with new material.
Yeah. Like the other day, Brenda put on her story that she was at KCI, and I was like, oh, you're at KCI. Like, I just like, you're able to chat with them through the story that you see, and then just Yeah. It's
okay,
fun.
So let's back it up. So a story, like if people understand mm-hmm. stories, and Snapchat, is it almost like a story creator?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so mm-hmm. if it's 9 o'clock in the morning and you've got an awesome cup of coffee that you want to share, you can take a video of it, or you can do a selfie facing camera and be like, oh my gosh, I'm having an amazing coffee. Mm-hmm. And then you could put a filter on it. You could make it funny. Mm-hmm. You could make use a drawing tool and draw steam out of the coffee.
Yeah.
You could put words on it and use a hashtag. You could be silly. You could be dumb, funny, whatever. And it's like takes this ordinary cup of coffee moment into something that's alive. Mm-hmm. Then later on in the day, you're at KUCI and you're like, I'm on the radio. I'm on KUCI. Then everybody who's following you sees, well, she had coffee. And now she's at KUCI. Mm-hmm. But either one of those moments, as a user, you can click on it and then directly message that person, right?
Yes.
And then that breaks out into a little conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you can either text or send pictures or send videos to each other, right?
Yeah.
And then those disappear in 24 hours.
Yeah. Actually, the chats disappear and if you don't save them. So she could have said something and I didn't see it. So I'll be like, wait, what did you say? Which is kind of a little annoying for Snapchat. That's the only thing I don't like, but you can always save it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for some people who are unfamiliar with it, this I can see how this would be very confusing. And
yeah.
And like, why would you be doing this, right? Because one concept would be, well, if you take a picture and you involve yourself with it and you make it cool and you put it out there and then it disappears, like mm-hmm. all for what? Like what is the reason to put in time and effort to posts that just disappear? What do you mm-hmm. think? I mean, what's the psychology behind it?
I think it's the whole basis of just like a Snapchat. Just like right away, it's what's relevant right now, what's going on with your day. It's kind of like Twitter and Facebook. You can always scroll through and see what they did the day before or a week after. But I think that's what makes Snapchat so unique. It's kind of just like a one day kind of thing.
It's a real time component. It's like exactly. What's going on in Angie's yeah. life? What's going on in Brenda's life?
And it's different every day, or it could be the same every day. You just never know.
Do you think that in general, people's attention spans are like 10 seconds or less right now in
yes.
general?
Yeah.
Okay. So Snapchat is playing to this very short, rapid information. How many either videos or pictures would say a low story day to a medium story day to like mm-hmm. an aggressive day? Right? Because sometimes people don't know when to post, so mm-hmm. or how often to post, and especially if they're not familiar with the site. So what would be, I don't know, step us through an example of how you might use Snapchat within a day that is just normal, or that's yeah. finals, or maybe Brenda, when you go to a music concert, how that plays out.
I think under 2 minutes is that keeps my attention
span. Oh, so you're thinking yeah. of the whole thing. So that yeah. would be less than 20 snaps.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I've never thought of it in the terms of times. I was thinking of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I dig it.
Yeah.
So your attention span is really maybe like 2 minutes with a mini attention span of a bunch of little 10 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you had a camera on yourself for an 8-hour day, people would bail out after 2 minutes, right?
Yeah.
But if you've got 10-second snippets of your entire day, people can see it, maybe learn more about you, but mm-hmm. also get ideas of what to do, get inspired, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Brenda, when is a day that you would, or a day or situation where you would be more snappy than not, I guess?
Those days are usually when I go to concerts.
Okay.
But they're more for my entertainment than for anyone else's.
Okay.
Because I like to go back and look at my story. So usually I'll have like over 10 or 15 snaps of the concerts of different people I'm watching. And like if I'm at a festival, that increases the number of videos. And I don't know, sometimes when I just want to be funny or silly, I'll just continue a story and see how much I can keep adding to it, just to see like the wow factor.
So it's almost like when you're at a campfire and somebody starts a story and then you add to it and you continue to go around the table and you're just kind of, what I'm hearing is it's also fun. And it's funny to see both of you light up when like you're imagining what's going on in a story. You're like, I could do that.
Yeah.
And I think for those people who are not on Snapchat, is there a way for them to get a taste of it without really being on it, or do you have to be on Snapchat to even explore and see what's going on?
Yeah, you have to sign up.
So you can't go to like snapchat.com and see it?
No. On Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook you can go on a desktop, but Snapchat's like strictly on your phone in an app.
Okay, so that's good to know, because there's some people probably looking for Snapchat online.
Yeah, I've tried.
So you have to have the app, and to to get an app, it's a free app, and you go to whatever app store it is, and then you sign up with a username probably, and then you're on. But what, like, you're on and now nobody's following you. So you just, like, how do you search for people? Mm-hmm. You just, because I know there's companies and corporate stuff, but mm-hmm. what do you do?
You can click the feature of add friends, but what's easiest for me, I find personally, is you can sync your contacts. And so all your contacts, whoever has a Snapchat pops up, and then it's just really convenient.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So you can find out, I guess, before you even actually throw a snap out into the world,
yeah.
you could hypothetically download the app, sync it with your contacts, and see who of your friends are on there.
Yeah.
And then you add them as a friend, and then you can watch their stories.
Mm-hmm.
And when in doubt, you can kind of copycat what they're doing. Or if you see something that you like or that's funny, that could work.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to me about this face swap thing.
The filters on Snapchat are just so funny and creative.
And a filter is basically like a digital studio that's involved in the app.
Yeah.
And you can forward face the camera, hold down on your face. It recognizes, like, artificial intelligence where your eyes and your nose and your ears are. And then you can swipe through the crazy filters. And it mm-hmm. makes you become people or get hit in the head with a volleyball or, like, weird glasses. And then there's this face swap thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you face swapped?
Yes, I have. It encourages you to take pictures with your friends.
Okay. So you get two people in the screen of your phone, and then it literally takes your faces and swaps them.
Hilarious.
Hilarious, scary. Some people might think, like, obnoxious. But obnoxious is funny at the end of the day. And if you've ever, like, been curious of, huh, I wonder what I would look like as a ginger, you could just face swap with me, and all of a sudden you've got, like, ginger personality in a face, right?
Yeah.
And it's video, but also snaps. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if I refer to a snap, does it define whether it's a picture snap or a video snap?
It's not very specific. Like, okay. No one says snap video. Or snap pictures, just a snap.
But they'll say, hey, let's snap this real quick.
Yeah.
And then you take out the phone, you open up the Snapchat, and it becomes your camera.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, would you say that Snapchat is like, it's basically replacing the camera in your phone?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like...
So it's taking the camera and making it like an interactive camera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Crazy. And how long do you think Snapchat's been around, or how long have you been on Snapchat?
Since my senior year of high school, okay. I think. So it's been around for a few years now.
Yeah. I think 2011 is when it started.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just had no idea. And then all of a sudden it's just like, boom, just blown
boomed.
Up.
Yeah.
I hear that there's, like, more videos watched on Snapchat than even YouTube and crazy stuff. Like,
yeah, I heard
so much consumption.
That there's more people using Snapchat than Twitter nowadays.
Wow.
Yeah.
Poor Twitter. Brenda, you and I have some work to do. Okay, so for those of you who are still sticking around, this is exciting because we're hearing from people who are using these apps, who like to use these apps, who have fun with these apps. And if you've heard all the giggles so far, you can giggle too. You can sign up for Facebook and have fun and look at cats and dope memes. You can tweet in shorter verse terms and communicate with people with short funny banter that you don't take seriously. And you can block the trolls and the bullies. And then you've got Snapchat, which is taking the phone's camera, turning it into an art digital editing studio with special effects. At the touch of a finger, you can even swap faces with somebody. I've even seen somebody swap faces, like, with Benjamin Franklin on a $100 bill or with an extension cord. They line up their face next to an extension cord.
I saw that
one. And then, like, the face is on the extension cord and the extension cord is on your face.
I love how creative people get.
Yeah.
So these platforms give you a chance to express yourself, to share what's going on. And I think that you have to be comfortable sharing in order to be on these platforms. So do you think culturally or an age-wise, you've just grown up being comfortable sharing? Because a lot of people are scared of the camera. Brenda, what do you think about people and their ability to share or their want to share? Do you find that it's an old and young thing?
I think it has to do more with how you feel personally about sharing. Because when I first started out Snapchat, I hated pictures of myself. Like, I never, like, no selfies. It was just pictures of my day, and that was it. And going onto it and seeing people being comfortable and posting what they want to do, you know, sometimes there's positive body images that people like to show, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of, like,
So that's comforting. You were on Snapchat, but not super comfortable with being like seen on Snapchat.
Yeah.
And you've now sort of become immune to it. Mm-hmm. And it probably helps that these things disappear after 24 hours.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it.
So do you think that these social media platforms, if maybe you don't have the most confident body image or self-image, it can be empowering? Or do you think it's something that is scary and kind of works against you?
I feel like it can go both ways.
Okay.
It depends on who you follow and what kind of attitude you have going into it. Because if you have low self-esteem and then you get like one bully, like Brenda said, a bully comment, then it can tumble downward.
Right.
Yeah. But okay. It could go either way.
Okay. So it's really up to the user to be able to not take things seriously and to block people appropriately.
Hit the block button.
Hashtag hit the block. Okay, so we've got about 10 minutes here. If we're going to do the top four sites. So we got Facebook, we have Twitter, we have Snapchat. And what would you say would be the fourth big dog out there?
Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell us about Instagram.
Instagram is pictures. Used to be pure pictures, but now they have added videos. Now they've added stories, which is really interesting.
I see that you say interesting through your teeth there. That was the closest I've seen you to be angry all morning through there. So, Angie, I'll never forget when Stories was launched on Instagram because you and a lot of people were up in arms.
Yeah, I just think it's like Snapchat's my number one in my heart.
So Instagram is primarily a picture and video sharing platform. That's what you would do.
Yeah.
But Snapchat became so popular, I believe they saw a huge fall off of users. And so it seems as though, to put it nicely, they just completely stole the functionality of Snapchat. So this whole story concept, and they launched it with, they call it Stories too?
They call them Instagram Stories.
Stories. Mm-hmm. And then now, as of, I don't know, just very recently, you have the Snapchat functionality of, instead of just uploading a story to everybody, you can now upload it to your story, or you can send it to individual people.
Mm-hmm.
And it also disappears in 24 hours.
Yeah.
Sounds very similar.
Familiar.
Sounds very familiar. So, Brenda, are you on Instagram? Are you into it?
I actually just made one recently.
Okay.
And I don't know, I'm kind of lazy, so it's kind of, I forget to post things sometimes, but I'll still scroll through my timeline and see what everyone else is writing.
Okay. So is there the name kind of gives it away, it being Instagram as an instant. So if you are lazy, do you feel like if it's not an instant photo, I've heard people joke about it, you know, being late-stagram. Like it's almost people are looking for it at the moment, right?
Yeah.
So Instagram is maybe a little bit, you've got to be, I guess, more front of the chair when it comes to taking pictures and sharing content.
Yeah. If you want people to be interested in your account or your profile, the more you post, the more people get interested, you know? And me, sometimes I'm just so busy with school and work, and then I try to look through my feed, and I'm like, what picture would, you know, get the most attention, but which one would catch the whoever's following me's eye, you know, like what would put a smile on their face, or what would they like to see on, you know, or what do I want to share with the world?
Gotcha. So Instagram is almost like your own private museum where you get to put stuff up on the wall, pictures and videos, and people interact by comments, and there's a whole different use of hashtags when it comes to Instagram, right? It's like Insta heavy on hashtags.
Yeah. Very heavy on hashtags.
And some people who have never really looked at it before, you could go to Instagram.com. Do you have to have an account to see other Instagrams?
I don't think so. No, you can explore.
So you can explore on Instagram and see different photos. And I think it's similar to Twitter in that with Facebook and other platforms, you can upload like multiple photos, right? I mean, you can have a whole album of photos. And so maybe people aren't being as selective on other mediums when it comes to photos, but Instagram, you get like one shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the caliber of pictures and some of these National Geographic and some of these places, like the picture is worth 1,000 words. You're like, wow, that is super cool. And it's almost because it's limited that people come up with these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Brenda, you're talking about which photo would be the best. And I think that's an interesting difference between the platforms, where Facebook, this is what I'm feeling right now, I've got coffee going on, or Twitter, like, oh, this is irritating, or I just want to share this, or this is cool. And then Snapchat is like, woo, this is what I'm doing right now. Whereas Instagram has a little bit more thought behind it, it seems like.
Yeah, like your pictures have to be high quality or else they're not going to get that that much love, you know?
Yeah. And by love, you mean the little heart when people like it.
The little heart.
The little heart. Do you know, back to Twitter real quick, and actually even with Instagram and Facebook, if you notice next time you're on Twitter and you click the like, the heart button, do you know what it does?
Likes.
You click it and it actually explodes.
Oh, yeah.
It explodes and it makes a little noise like, and that's actually a reward for the user who's doing the liking. And you get this like there's psychology behind it where you like it and it treats you with like a little heart explosion. You're like, whoa, so that feels good.
Positive reinforcement
for liking. And it's interesting. And there's a lot of psychology that goes behind it where it feels good to like someone's stuff. And I think that's important because you're sharing and growing a community, really. People that are of like interests and like-minded that like the same kind of stuff, and they can all get together and sort of use these trending topics of what's important to them to filter content that makes them happy or makes them feel engaged or gets them involved in a certain thing.
Yeah.
So Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram. Mm-hmm. It sounds like Instagram and Snapchat are very, very similar now.
Yeah.
Okay, so what would your advice be to somebody who's just starting off? Would you sort of explore both platforms and then see which one you like better? Or because you're true to the heart and a fan of Snapchat, you say just go Snapchat? Or what would your advice be if you're just looking at choosing between the platforms to start?
I mean, it's kind of hard to choose because you say they're similar in features, but I think Instagram is kind of different from Snapchat because you can post like one picture, and like you said, it's just like one shot to post a picture, whereas Snapchat you can upload several times a day and then each and every day and they disappear. But Instagram, they don't disappear unless you're doing the story thing.
So there's more pressure with Instagram.
Yeah, there's definitely more pressure.
Gotcha. And then with Snapchat, it's like, whatever, I'm just going to share, and then the stuff that's popular will get more views or get more likes, and then it just, you're letting your other people sort of have more of a chance to see what you're doing.
Yeah. So in my opinion, if you're starting off, I would choose Snapchat as a more easygoing, like see what kind of pictures you can post. But if you're ready for it, I think Instagram. Yeah.
And for those people that are maybe thinking, going, I still don't understand why people are even doing this, right? Mm-hmm. There's still people that are like, you could be reading a novel at this point, or you could be making a song instead of watching this. But there is an entertainment factor to it.
Yeah.
And going through Snapchat stories of random people or people you don't know, it's almost like a little snippet into their story, into their life.
Engagement.
And it is entertaining. And then you can meet somebody or you reach out to somebody, or if somebody inspires you, you can take that and share that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that what I'm hearing is that at the end of the day, social media can be fun.
Yeah.
You don't have to take it super seriously. And there's more than one platform for you to explore. Is it okay to start on a platform, play with it, figure out if you like it or not, and then bail?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think a lot of people feel like once you get in, it's like the Fight Club.
Oh.
Right? Like once you get in, that's it. You're in.
Yeah.
And I think that you have a chance of exploring a little bit more. Well, we've got a couple minutes here. Let's come up with a hashtag game. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you girls are going to say what would be a post, and I'm going to guess the hashtag. But here's what happens. So, Brenda, you're going to give a fake tweet, and then you're going to whisper what the hashtag is that you would use, and then I get 3 chances to guess it. Okay?
Okay.
All right, so here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Angie, you look confused.
No, I'm just thinking.
Oh, okay, you're just thinking. Okay. All right, so Brenda, compose a tweet or something along that line, and then I'm going to envision the hashtag. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what would it be? Don't tell me the hashtag.
Okay.
Okay.
This is confusing.
Do you need help?
Yeah. Can you help me?
Okay. All right. So
it's
Angie.
Whisper it though, right?
No. You give the actual like update or something, and then I'm going to try to, like if you said, be the change you wish to see, I'd be like, hashtag Tip Tuesday.
Okay.
Something like that.
I'll do a really easy one.
Okay. Let's start off easy.
Okay. This is the love of my life. Hashtag.
Bay.
No. Okay, it's a day of the week.
Oh.
Doesn't he look handsome?
Oh.
Yeah.
It partakes to a specific gender.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would say hashtag bae because that's the only thing I know for that. Hashtag love?
No,
hashtag crush?
You know this.
You're close.
Hashtag crush Thursdays? Trust Tuesdays? Wednesday, when's that? Hashtag when? Ah, hashtag.
Keep going.
Hashtag wandering eyes.
Okay, it's like, I'll post a picture of somebody that I think is super attractive, and it happens to be a male, and it happens on a certain day, and I, you know, I could talk about how cute.
Hashtag wow Wednesday? I don't know this hashtag.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
Do you want me to just...
Yes, we're running short on time. Okay. Tell me.
Man Crush Monday.
Hashtag Man Crush Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that there's a hashtag Man Crush Monday.
You've never been anyone's Man Crush Monday?
No. And it's Wednesday, so obviously there's not... maybe Woman Crush Wednesday.
Woman Crush Wednesday.
That's a thing.
Wow, yeah. Okay. So, everybody, you now have more useless information to make your social media lives that much more meaningful, and you've learned it here at Get Notified. So if you have a crush on somebody on Mondays, you can use hashtag Man Crush Monday. If you have a crush on somebody on Wednesday and it's a woman, you could do hashtag Woman Crush Wednesday. And if you want to, I don't know, what are some other good hashtags to use?
Hashtag Thursday, Selfie Sunday.
Okay.
Turn Up Tuesday?
Is that a new one? Hashtag UCI Pride.
Zot, zot, zot.
Hashtag zot, zot, zot. Hashtag it's time for us to go now, but hopefully you learned a lot. And that's too long of a hashtag. Hashtag GingerMC.
Yeah.
That's how you use and find me. I use hashtag Ginger as well. All right. Well, ladies, it has been a pleasure. And we are going to sign off here to some random music. I'm not sure what, because we just grabbed it off the wall. Mm-hmm. And we see you here every Wednesday from 8 to 9. Have a great gobble gobble and friends and family. And start talking about social media to your grandma at the table, will you? See if you can get your grandma on Snapchat. That's your goal. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Ryan, and on the count of three, we're all going to say hashtag bye, and then we'll sign off. One, two, three.
Hashtag bye.
Thanks for listening. Hope you learned something. To find more episodes, visit getnotified.kuci.org. This is DJ Ginger MC signing out.